Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
Dennis DeLore, good morning.
How you doing, Caleb?
It's always great to see you.
Same to you.
We had a news story on, I think, Friday, and I found out afterwards that you were actually in Lansing for that. And that was the granting of more money to go towards St. Clair County's newest county park.
Yep. Well, I was in Lansing for Blue Meets Green, so with a dynamic group of people from St. Clair County that were addressing a lot of different issues and needs for our community. So while there, they did talk a little bit about the fact that we had been awarded a trust fund grant for $270,000, which is great for us, great for the county, which is going to go towards North Channel County Park, which is our newest park down in Clay Township. And so we've been real aggressive with grants over the last year and a half, and very excited that we were awarded that grant. It's a 51% match, so that will allow us to get the trailhead completed for North Channel, maybe the parking lot, some other things. So we were very excited to hear that we were awarded the grant, and it'll allow us to get started down at North Channel.
This has been a work in progress. As long as I've been here, I know there's been talks of finding a southern St. Clair County location for a county park. This one was secured, what, probably about 3 or 4 years ago at this point?
Well, it's been a long process, Caleb.
Yeah.
We started looking for a property in the southern part of the county about a half a decade ago or maybe more. Looked at several properties, some on, you know, Bouvier Bay down there in Lake St. Clair on the North Channel. But this property, it all worked out. Took us a while to get there, but when we were able to secure the property, you know, we were able to use trust fund money to actually purchase the property, which has been great. And for people that don't know what the trust fund program is, it's Michigan Natural Resource Trust Fund. So it's money that is set aside from tax collected on gas and mineral rights in the state of Michigan, and it can only be used for parks and recreation, which is fantastic. So it's protected for that. It allows a lot of communities to purchase properties, to develop those properties. So we had an acquisitions grant to buy that property, and then we got a grant for enhancement. So that's basically development, and that's what this grant is. And this will allow us to put a trailhead in, like I said, a parking lot, some other amenities to get the park started. So it's a pretty hefty price tag for that park. It's about $4.5 million from start to finish. So this is not something that we're going to do overnight. You know, we're going to work on this park as we can over the next probably 6-7 years before you'll see it near completion, which is, you know, financially is a good way for us to do this. We'll be very aggressive with grants moving forward. In fact, we have applied for another trust fund grant for another $300,000 that we're hoping we'll find out later this year how we do on that. We also have a recreation passport grant, which is another one for about $150,000 that we have out there that we're asking for, and an Eagle grant, which is for our protection of our shoreline at that park. Since it is on the North Channel, we have to do something with that. So we'll be finding out about that grant hopefully in the next month. So a lot of grants out there, you know, so we're also applying for more in the future just to see how we can, you know, find ways to get financing for doing some of these projects and completing them.
Is it safe to say that the North Channel County Park improvements or build out there of the park is going to kind of move at the speed of these grants? Without
Hope so.
The grants, you're not going to be able to do what you want to do, though.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, we're trying to be, you know, very responsible in how we approach this. And, you know, that would be a big hit for our budget to spend that kind of money, you know, all up front. So I think we have a good plan in place. We've looked at basically developing from the road to the water, you know, and getting things done in stages. But, you know, high priority is to get a canoe and kayak launch there. We have...
I would second that because I've used the neighboring boat launch, but, you know, it's a boat launch. You're kind of in people's way there when you try to launch a kayak.
So, right, yeah, right. Nice. So we have the Algonac Harbor Club there, which is next door, and there's an inlet right there. It's perfect for a canoe and kayak launch, and it also would be a trailhead for the Russell Island Loop, which is part of the National Water Trail. So it really, this park is in a great spot. It's on beautiful part of the North Channel, and there's easy access to the park. So it's going to be a great park when it's done.
Other than the launch, what else would be there?
Well, the interest in having a bathing beach in the southern part of the county has always been strong. So in our master plan, we're looking at creating a beach there.
That would be a lot of work because that's all very right. Swampy. Yeah.
So, well, the work with it, Caleb, is that part of that Eagle grant that I mentioned is it's what they call a riprap soft shoreline to protect the inlet that's there. So there is a natural inlet that comes into the property, and that inlet is kind of set up perfectly for, still water like a beach. So it should be something that we can do, we're hoping, permits and all that stuff will tell us if we're going to be able to do that. But I think that it'll be a pretty interesting park. But there's a lot of wetlands there, so we're going to do boardwalks over the wetlands. There'll be picnic pavilions. There'll be a canoe and kayak launch like we talked about. There's going to be a restroom facility, parking amenities, a large playscape for children of all abilities. So we're looking forward to getting that in and doing some other things. So even an area for our showmobile, so it'll be set up for actually concerts and those sort of things in the summer. So pretty dynamic park, and I think the plan we have together is pretty good.
It sounds a little bit like Fort Gratiot County Park with the beach and the pavilion and the rest facilities and all that. Is that kind of fair to say? I think it's a larger piece of property than Fort Gratiot.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they're kind of similar actually in size. But I would say that Fort Gratiot County Park, is on, of course, on Lake Huron, so it's a little bit different there. We have 800 feet of beach at Fort Gratiot County Park, so that has become one of our most popular destinations in the summertime. And because of that, we've had to make some changes, and one of those changes is for the first time in our history, we will be collecting fees from non-residents to enter the park. So that park, like I said, very popular in the summer. In fact, the last couple summers, we've had to turn away guests because the parking lot's full. We have about 200 parking spots there. And once it's full, unfortunately, we have to wait until, some people leave for the day to actually let new people in. So that was a challenge. And what we found is that there's a lot of non-residents that are using the park. They want access to water, which we understand. But our residents who pay through the millage for the development of these parks and the use of these parks, we want to give them a fair chance to use the facilities that they pay for. And to do that, we will collect non-resident fees.
So that's not a foreign concept, as the two beaches in Port Huron do the same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And when you say non-resident, you're saying people outside of St. Clair County.
So absolutely.
Everyone in the county, unlike Port Huron, where I believe there is a free usage for residents and then a stepped up. If you're outside the city, there's one rate, but then if you're outside the county, there's another. You're saying this is free use for the entire county.
Yep. If you reside in St. Clair County, if you have a residence in St. Clair County, even if it's a seasonal summer residence, and you can show proof that you live there, you will be granted access to the park.
That's the only park where that's going to take effect, correct?
At this point, correct.
Just due to demand. Would you look at doing that at other parks? I can think of a few others that get pretty busy in the summertime, too.
So. It's case by case. So, this is going to really show us, how this is going to work. We talked to the city of Port Huron and how they do things at their beaches. And I know Nancy Windsor, the director of the Parks and Rec for the city, gave us a lot of good information on how they handle it so that it would be uniform across the county. In fact, our fees are going to be very similar to what they charge at the city beaches for non-residents so that it's very consistent. It's not something that we really wanted to do, but I think for giving access to our county residents, and first and foremost, it's for them, is to do that. And if we collect revenue from non-residents that we can put back into the park, then it's a win-win.
We're talking to Dennis DeLore. He's the director of the St. Cloud County Parks and Recreation. We talked about the new North Channel Park down near Algonac, Clay Township. And we talked about, so we went from south to north. We went up to Fort Gratiot County Park. What about some of your, Columbus is a new favorite of mine. That's something's always changing out there, it seems like. How's things going out there?
Great. In fact, we have a fairly new disc golf course mm-hmm. that goes through the park, and that's been extremely popular. I would say that every one of our parks, we usually have one feature that changes the dynamic of use. And when we find that, you know, special item that does that, it really, you see a change in the use of the park, the function of the park, and even how we manage those parks. And Columbus County Park, good example is that disc golf course. So it was designed by some volunteers. There were some very generous donations to get this disc golf course in. And then our county park staff really worked hard to get that, you know, situated. It's 18 holes. And considered a championship course, and I just recently found out that there's some groups that are looking at putting it on a circuit or a tour, which I thought was pretty neat. That shows you how good of a disc golf course this is. But that's just one part of that park. We have, you know, miles and miles of trails that go through that park. It's 412 acres, and it sits on the Bell River. So when you go through the park, Caleb, you know how it is. It looks like you're up north. You feel like you're in northern Michigan, and not in the thumb. So it really gives you that, you know, great experience if you're trying to connect with nature and the outdoors. And so that park, you know, has a good balance of natural trails and really serene surroundings. And then you have disc golf and some other things.
And modern facilities still.
So Columbus is one of my favorites too when it comes to that natural element. Just a lot of different little ecosystems in the park.
Yeah, my favorite is still Woodsong. That is a special place in my heart. I know it's our least developed county park, but even then you have the bike trails that are out, the BMX trails essentially out there.
Yeah.
So it's getting a lot more use now than it used to.
Well, that's another one of those, the dynamic changed when we have Blue Water Trail Advocates, which is a great group of people that are very enthusiastic, very energetic about getting things done when it comes to bike trails, particularly mountain bike and fat tire biking.
Okay.
Woodsong County Park was a very passive park. It really didn't have much use. It's situated on the Black River on a bluff. It's absolutely gorgeous, but wasn't really getting used a lot. And when Blue Water Trail Advocates came to us and wanted to develop a trail, it was a home run. So they have quite a few trails there that are, I would say, advanced, because of the terrain there. You know the topography there. It drops off down to the river, so it's pretty thrilling to ride those trails. Mm. But that's one of those change the dynamic, right? So we expanded the parking lot because it's been so busy, and we've had a donated bike repair station that was added. And some other amenities. And maybe down the road you see us add, you know, a restroom facility or something at the park, just because now that use it's warranting adding some of those features. But yeah, it is a great park. Beautiful right now. The trilliums are all in bloom, so it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I use it a lot for getting out of the Black River, as far as if you put in up at the M136 or Beer Grove at one of the launches there, and you can go down. And it's pretty much about 4 hours or so. You can go down to Woodsong, but getting up the steep grade there can be a bit of a challenge. I know it's been a challenge for the county parks with their kayak launch and everything too, but it is a great place. You don't have it's nice to see from the water, but you can just take a little walk out there too. There's some trails that you can walk on.
Absolutely. In fact, it's mixed use.
And it's close by to the Wadhams to Avoca Trail, which I think the two, especially since you're looking at some more biking related things, you can really tie in Woodsong County Park, which is only about a mile and a quarter away from the Wadhams to Avoca Trail, which is another great gem in our county.
Absolutely. And that, you know, the Wadhams to Avoca Trail is a rail trail. So it's a linear trail. Basically, it's about 116 acres. So if you look at it from the perspective as a park, that's a whole other park that we manage in the form of a trail. So it's 12 and a half miles long, you know, has the Mill Creek Trestle, which is probably the highlight for everyone that comes to the trail. which is 640 feet long, 60 feet above the Mill Creek, offers spectacular views of the natural features in that area, and gets a lot of use. And it's a mixed-use trail, so you see equestrian riders using parts of it. You see, you know, people that are getting ready for marathons, and people that are in triathlons out there that are working on riding their bikes and using that distance as a gauge. And it's beautiful in the fall. You know, it absolutely is gorgeous in the fall when you can get out on the trail. So a lot of use.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully in the future you'll see our trail network continue to grow. And you mentioned that it's very close to, like, Woodsong. It's also close to Goodall's. So our Blue Water Trail Advocate group that's working with us, they're really big on making a trail network around that part of the county. And they're working that way. They've already added a mountain bike trail, a fat tire trail at Goodall's County Park,
yeah,
too.
So okay,
we're growing when it comes to, you know, the trail networks.
That took a lot of vision to see, here is this rail trail, and it obviously took some money, too. But to say, here's, you know, an abandoned right-of-way with a cool bridge on it, can we make something out of this? And I think that's kind of that innovative thinking that we need to, you know, see more of. You saw an opportunity, and instead of letting that opportunity go to waste, you made something out of it. And now it's a pretty big attraction.
Yes, absolutely true. And that is, the Wadhams Avoca Trail is, you know, kind of a feature piece in our system. And we're hoping that in the future that trail can expand as well. Obviously, we'd like to see it reach to Yale and beyond. And also connect to the Bridge to Bay Trail, which is another very vital part of our trail network in St. Clair County.
Yeah, absolutely. One final thought. Historic preservation is a big thing for you. And you're actually giving some talks on the subject here very soon.
So, as you know, one of our other parks that we didn't talk about a lot is the Fort Gratiot Light Station.
Yeah.
But, you know, in all of our parks, we have historic resources, right? So we're natural resources and we're cultural resources. So we have a lot of historic attractions in our parks. Fort Gratiot Light Station is probably our biggest, which is the oldest lighthouse in Michigan. So we've had that for a while, and we're working on improving that park. But because of the things that we've done there, we've been able to create some great partnerships with different agencies across the state, including the State Historic Preservation Office, which SHPO, as it's known, is an agency that monitors historic preservation, and they do for us because our property was acquired through the National Park Service, so they are required to monitor our progress there. And because we've had a good success story there, they've asked us to be a partner in talking about our efforts in preservation up at Mackinac Island for the Michigan Historic Preservation Network Conference. So we'll be talking a little bit about our success stories at Fort Gratiot County Park or Fort Gratiot Light Station and some of the other things that we've got going on in preservation. And it's really a great opportunity for us to be a part of that. And also for St. Clair County, it puts us on that tourism map. And I think Fort Gratiot Light Station is an amazing tourist attraction in our county and does a lot to bring people into our community and spend their money here when they come from out of the area, which is good for our restaurants and our downtown area of Port Huron. So it's a win-win. And I think preservation does go hand-in-hand with our natural preservation in our park system.
Yeah, no, we love our lighthouse, and you guys are doing the great work restoring that kind of one piece at a time, the different buildings and everything at the light station. We're out of time. Dennis, I appreciate you coming in.
Thanks, Caleb.
It's always a pleasure seeing you and talking to you about parks and recreation and historic preservation, all things that I care about and love learning more about. So thank you, Dennis.
Thanks for having me.
We'll catch up real soon. This is Caleb in for Paul, and you're listening to WPHM.